Okay, everybody have pen and paper? Good. Now, I don't want you to write this down, but I just want you to listen closely. When you pull out of the church parking lot, turn left. Drive to the first stop sign and turn left. Drive to the second traffic light and turn right. Drive roughly a mile and a half, maybe, to a traffic light. At that intersection, there will be a Sunoco station. Turn left. After you turn left, drive for approximately 2 miles. Go past Kemp Road. Once you go past Kemp Road, the first parking lot you come to, turn right. When you turn right into that parking lot, you will notice a store immediately to your left. Go into that store and buy me a pint of chocolate chip. I've just given you directions to graders. Now, those were rather simple instructions, and you might well be able to remember them. But what if I were giving you directions to a graders in Columbus or a graders in Cincinnati? If you didn't have those directions written down, are you sure you'd get there? Maybe yes, maybe no. But wouldn't it be better if you had them written down and you would know for sure how to get exactly where I'm telling you to go? Wouldn't that make it a lot easier? Okay, turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. In verse 1, Isaiah 30 verse 1, it says, the word that came... No, I said Isaiah, didn't I? I'm so sorry, Jeremiah. I apologize. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Like a Bible drill, huh? Jeremiah chapter 30. Verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. You see that? So what he's getting ready to do, he's getting ready to give Jeremiah some instructions or directions or a word or whatever. And he says, Jeremiah, here's what I want you to do. Everything that I say to you, I want you to write it down in a book. You say, well, what did he say to him? Well, if you read from this point on, you're going to get a very good idea as to what the Lord said, because it was written down. But what if Jeremiah had said, I don't think so. I'll remember this. Now, it's very possible that Jeremiah could have remembered much of what the Lord said. But the Lord wanted Jeremiah to write it down. And so Jeremiah wrote it down. Okay, now, have you ever considered the possibility that one of the reasons you don't have a clue what God wants you to do in life is because you have never written anything down? What complicates this are all the pastors and churches that say such silly things as, God doesn't speak today. Well, excuse me, where are you getting your sermons? Well, I went to the Christian bookstore and I bought this book. 52 sermons for 2,000 whatever. If you believe that God doesn't speak today, then you're not going to make any effort to hear Him now, are you? If you believe God has nothing to say to you, then why take the time to even try and hear what He has to say? You need to go find you a pastor, or go find you some kind of a psychologist, Christian psychologist. I mean, go find somebody else to speak into your life. And you will do that. Because you're going to, as a Christian, you will find somebody, some way, somehow to speak into your life to help dictate the course of your life. It could be your wife, your husband, mother-in-law, father-in-law. I mean, it could be a variety of people. But the thing is, God wants to speak into your life. God wants you to know what He wants you to know. And I'm convinced that most Christians really do not know what God wants them to do because they don't take the time to hear from God. Now, I want to show you some things here. Turn to John chapter 14. If God's going to give this instruction to Jeremiah, write what I tell you to write, put it in a book? Why would he not say something like that to us? Why would he not tell you to write something down? Now, all right, let's think of this from a different perspective. Have you considered the possibility that God makes this incredible assumption that you're smart enough to write down what he says? Okay, husbands, your wife ever given you a list? Go to the store and get. Or when I come home, have this done. Gives you a list? Why does she give you the list? Because she doesn't want you to forget what she wants you to do. You with me? It's interesting how husbands don't usually give wives lists. I mean, sometimes, think about this. I don't know why that is, but that's another sermon. Hallelujah. So God's given this instruction to Jeremiah. Write it in a book what I say to you. Why should we think it would be any different today? Now let's look at something. These next verses that we're going to be looking at, we use so often, and the reason we use them so often is to emphasize continually what God wants to do in our lives through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now this is true, and he'll do this. But here's what's interesting. We take this particular verse where it says he'll teach you all things, and we correctly place the emphasis on he'll teach us all things relative to God's Word, etc., and so forth. But now here's another aspect of this that is just as true, and you need to understand it. And that is, he wants to teach you all things relative to your life. Everything about your life, God already knows, and he has a plan. He has a perfect plan for your life. That perfect plan will, now listen to this, that perfect plan will produce for you the perfect life. Let me say this another way. If you do not find out what God's plan is for your life, I don't care what you do in life, you will never live the perfect life, ever. Ever. Mark it down. That's because God is a perfect God, and he has a perfect plan, and he has a perfect will. And that perfect plan and that perfect will is available to us because if he's formulated it for us, he wants us to receive it. One of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to do is he's going to teach you all things relative to God's plan and will for your life. That is part of his responsibility. Now, if God doesn't speak anymore, somebody should have told the Holy Spirit this. Don't you think? He says, wait a minute, God, hold on here. They're down there telling people you don't speak anymore. But you said in the Word that I'm supposed to be doing some speaking. Well, which is it, God? He says, well, go tell them. Speak. You're my voice. Tell them. He says, yeah, but they said. He says, I know. And they're not going to listen to you either. In fact, they probably won't even let you in their church. They'll tell you all about Jesus, but they're not going to tell anything about you. And because of that, they're not going to hear me. They're going to be left to their own devices. Holy Spirit says, well, what do we do then? God says, we just sit back, wait for them to die, and welcome them in here. Of course, there's not a whole lot else we can do. The Holy Spirit has the responsibility to teach you all things relative to your life, to God's plan, to your ministry calling. Let me ask you a question. If you don't receive the information about your ministry calling from God, who are you going to receive it from? Seminary? The questionnaire they hand out and you fill in the blanks and add up the point totals and that's what you are? What? Where are you going to get this information? Put another way, where are you going to get divine information if it's not from a divine source? Where are you going to get divine instruction, divine direction, if it's not from a divine source? Here's what's so sad. Even though we don't look at it like this, we essentially have been trained to think for ourselves and to not rely on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us. We can do it on our own. I don't need this. Now, that's not our attitude, but that's how we live. Now, maybe not everybody here, but generally speaking. Look at another verse, John chapter 16. In verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now again, relative to this message, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. All truth relative to your life. You may think there are a lot of things that are true about your life and about your ministry and about your calling, and maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. But the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth relative to your life, your ministry, and everything that God wants for you. "He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." What is he going to speak? Whatever he hears. What is he going to hear relative to your life? He is going to hear the perfect will and the perfect plan of the Father. In other words, he's going to hear it from the Father, and then he's going to turn right around, and his responsibility is to only speak perfection into your life relative to God's will and God's plan. If you're not receiving this from him, and you're only receiving from man, then you are receiving imperfection. I've had people come to me, "Pastor, I don't know what to do. What's my calling? Pastor, do you have any idea what I'm supposed to do? Do you have any idea what..." Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. God can give me a revelation, but the thing is, even if he gives me a revelation of the general aspect of your life, he's not going to give me the intimate details. You know why? Listen closely to this. God is not going to give anybody else the intimate details about your life. No one. I don't care what kind of prophet they call themselves. They can be a 5-star apostle. And God is not going to do that.
Well, how do you know?
Because if God did that, you'd start relying on man instead of God. And you'd be worse off than what you were before. He's not going to do it. That's why you've got to come to the place of being able to hear God for yourself as the Holy Spirit speaks. Well, I don't believe he speaks anymore. You know what? You'd be really comfortable. You'd be a whole lot better off in another church that believes just like that. Because in this church, we believe God speaks and we hear him. We know he speaks. There's a bunch of you here that know more about your life since you learned how to hear from God than you ever did in the last 35 years you lived on this planet. And some of you are not even 35 years old. Hallelujah. He said, he'll guide you into all truth. Won't speak of himself. Whatever he hears, that's what he'll speak. And he will show you things to come. What kind of things to come? Things to come relative to your life. Things to come relative to God's plan for you. He will show these things to you. He will give you a revelation of everything you are supposed to be. Everything that you are supposed to do. It's kind of like in the Old Testament where it talks about you'll hear a voice behind you saying, you know, this is the way, walk ye in it, turn to the left, turn to the right. You're going to know. This is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." Okay, relative to this message tonight, what mysteries are you speaking? Well, when you're praying in tongues, the mysteries that you're speaking are the mysteries about what you're supposed to do in life. If you have ever in your life sat back and thought, "God, what am I supposed to do? I have..." And you talk to somebody, "I have no clue what God wants me to do." You go to your pastor and you say, "Pastor, just pray for me because I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what..." In other words, what you're saying is, it is a mystery to me. And here he's saying that when you pray in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries, or you are praying out the mysteries, the things that you don't know. Now, when it comes to your life, one of the things that you are praying when you pray in tongues is you are praying the mysteries of God's perfect plan for your life. Put another way, you're praying the mysteries of the perfect life for you here on earth. Look in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. People be writing letters.
What was it, Brother Martin? What was it, Brother Martin?
Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, as you're praying in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit is giving you this understanding, He's giving you the wisdom, He's giving you revelation, and He is teaching you things according to His wisdom, the mind of God, the mind of Christ, as it pertains to your perfect will, your perfect life, your perfect direction, His instruction for you. This is what you're praying out. Now, remember we shared back there in Jeremiah chapter 30, where God told Jeremiah, write the things down that I say to you. Write them in a book. Write them in a book. Okay? Now I want to show you something. Just for example. Okay, what would we call this right here? Notebook. Okay? A notebook. The notebook has, in many cases, been replaced by the computer. So you may use Microsoft Word in your computer. And those of you that do, you understand that's a word processing program. So from that perspective, we could call your computer a notebook, okay? I'm not talking about the software or the program called notebook. I'm talking about, you know, creating documents that you would call as a notebook, just for the sake of the teaching, call them a book. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a book. How many of you know there's not a book of Bob in the Bible? And as you go through from Genesis to Revelation, there's no book of Carl. There's no book of Rupert. There's no book of Aloysius. There's no book of Susie or Cindy or Alice. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, granted, I do have an advantage. There is a book of James. Problem is that has nothing to do specifically with God's perfect plan for my perfect life. And it's another James anyway. Hallelujah. But there's no book of James for me. Okay? But the Holy Spirit wants to give you a book. Please let this sink deeply within. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a book. It is His responsibility to speak to you the book of your life. And He will do that as much as you let Him. You are not writing... Let me say it like this. You could actually, as you're praying in the Spirit, and He's speaking, and He'll speak to you. He will. Trust me. He will speak to you. As He speaks to you, you can write it down. In fact, He is expecting you to write it down. How many of you have felt like you've heard something from God, you didn't write it down, 15 minutes later, you didn't have a clue? He's expecting you to write it down. Because, okay, let me ask you, remember Jeremiah? Write what I give you in a book. And we wonder, well, what did God give him? And I said, read the rest of the book, you'll find out. See what I mean? If he hadn't written it down, we wouldn't know. God spoke to people, people wrote it down in a book, and that book has been combined with other books under one cover called the Bible. Okay? The Holy Spirit wants to give you a book with your name on it. It's already been written in heaven. And now He wants to convey it to you. But you have to be the one to write it here. In other words, He's speaking what He's hearing. Think of it like this. Here's the Father up in heaven. He opens His book of your life. And then there you are down there, and here's the Holy Spirit in between. And the Father says, okay, Holy Spirit, are you ready? And He says, I'm ready, boss. He says, okay. And and the Father begins reading out of the book of your life. And the Holy Spirit hears that, and He turns around and gives it to you by your praying in the Spirit. He's speaking what He hears. See? Their expectation, which I don't think is out of line, is for you to write it down as He gives it to you, or sit at your computer and type it out as He gives it to you. Writing the book of your life in the natural as it already exists in the Spirit. Comparing spiritual to spirit. Spiritual, as you're praying in the Spirit. If you don't do this, that information can't be conveyed. And this is one of the things that is so hard to get across to some Christians, because they think they don't need this whole thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I don't need to pray in tongues. Why not? I can get what I need from God. From where? Well, I go to a good church. Okay. But what about all this other stuff that the pastor doesn't know about you? What about the stuff the Sunday school teacher doesn't know about your life? What about the stuff the guy on TV that you send all your money to doesn't know about your life? Write to them. Ask them to tell you what you're supposed to do next week. Ask them to tell you what your calling is. You know what they're going to do if they're worth anything? They're going to write back and tell you, pray. Do you see what I'm saying here? You're not going to get this perfect plan for your perfect life from anyone other than God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can reject this, you can refute it, you can preach and teach against it, but as long as you're preaching and teaching against it, no matter what you say, guys, you're not going to change what God has said in His Word. It's still here. God is not holding any information back from anybody. He wants to start with you in chapter 1. Of your book, the book of your life, and give it to you. Then he wants to take you all through chapter 1, and then through chapter 2, and then through chapter 3. Now here's what you could do. You could actually take what he's giving you, what he speaks to you as you write it out, and if you wanted to be real King Jamesy, put it in chapter and verse. Oh, now, Brother Martin, you couldn't do that. Yeah, you could. You could. You could. I'm not telling you to do it that way. I'm just trying to draw an analogy here. See, as he's giving you this book, whether you put it in chapter and verse or whether you just leave it in paragraph form, whatever you do, that's totally up to you. You are not, absolutely not, writing new Bible. But let me say it like this. You're not writing new Bible, but you are writing personal Scripture. You say, that sounds like heresy. Now hold on. Doesn't the Bible say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, etc., and so forth? You're not writing new Bible, but if the Bible, this book right here in your hands, if that does not contain the perfect plan for your perfect life, where else are you going to get it? You've got to get it from God, the same way these guys got it when they wrote. As you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is giving to you, quote, personal Scripture. And I'm only saying it that way for emphasis. But He's giving to you your book, what He wants you to know. He's giving to you the information for your life. Now, He'll give you other things too. The other night, the Lord began, you know, showing me some things that weren't directly relative to my call, but were directly relative to some other things. So the Lord will give you all kinds of information when you're praying in the Spirit, but what we're focusing on is the plan of God for your life. You become your own prophet. As the Holy Spirit is speaking to you while you're praying in the Spirit and you're writing this out, do you understand you are prophesying? Some people think that prophecy is only foretelling the future. Prophecy includes foretelling the future. Prophecy is delivering, speaking forth the mind of God that He once delivered and spoken forth at a particular moment in time. Now, as you're spending time praying in the Spirit, and you're writing down what God is giving to you, about your life, whatever He's speaking to you, you're writing this down, you've got to understand, you're prophesying to you. The Lord's speaking by the Holy Spirit through you to you, instead of speaking through you to someone else, which we don't have a problem calling prophecy. He's speaking through you to you. You're prophesying to you.
Never thought of it that way, Brother Martin.
Well, think. You're prophesying to you. Can you see how important it is for Satan to get the body of Christ to not believe in praying in tongues? Because if he can get you convinced, you don't need it. If he can get you convinced it's of the devil, it's not for today, it's for some people, it's not for everybody, etc., etc., etc. If he can get you convinced, what he has done immediately is he has cut off the line of communication and you are going to live your entire life and you will never know what God's trying to get you to do. You will base everything that you do upon the wisdom of man, not upon the wisdom that radiates from the mind of Christ. And the whole time, there's the Holy Spirit, either on the outside or on the inside of you, based upon what you've chosen to receive. And he's standing there the whole time. He's standing there. He's got the book. God's perfect plan for every moment of every day of your life. He's got it right there, holding it in his hands. He's got it open. For some people, he's been standing there with the thing open to chapter 1 for 15, 20 years. Think of it this way. Is it possible that there are some Christians that have never gotten past the introduction? Never once spent a moment praying in the Spirit. How do they know for sure that what they're doing is what God wants? Well, because the church is really big. So, what's that got to do with anything? What if God didn't call you to pastor that church?
But the fact that it's very big proves that God called me.
That doesn't prove anything other than the fact that you're pastoring that church. Doesn't mean God called you. What information have you received from the Holy Spirit, O you who believe that God doesn't speak today? How do you know? How do you know what to do? Some people don't care. Some people are happy in life. They've reached a stage of complacency and they don't care. They'll hear this sermon. It'll go in one ear and out the other. They're going to walk out. They're going to leave. They'll turn off the radio. They'll do something else, whatever. They don't care. Don't make any difference to them whatsoever. I'm just another flap-jawed preacher spouting off, hoping somebody sends him money. Good sermon, Brother Martin.
Lousy sermon, Brother Martin.
They don't care. You probably figure out where we're headed in this tonight, because I gave you paper, pad, a paper, gave you a pen to make sure you've got something to write with.
So what are we going to do?
We're going to give you a chance to hear God. We're going to give you a chance here in the next few minutes to write at least part of a chapter of the book of your life. Now you can do this if you want to. You don't have to. But you're going to have a chance to do this. I mean, you can sit there and draw circles and play tic-tac-toe with yourself. I mean, whatever you want to do. But you're going to have an opportunity here for the next 15 minutes. Sit there and pray in the Spirit. Hear from God. And write down what God gives you.
Brother Martin, how do you know God's going to speak to me?
I'll guarantee you He's going to. Because that's what this service is about. He is going to speak to you. He might only give you a sentence and want you to meditate on that sentence. Or He may cut loose and give you pages. It's totally up to you. But He is going to speak to you tonight. Whether you here or not, I mean, you know, it's between you and Him. But all I know is this: we're giving you the opportunity to hear from God. And for some people, this is the first opportunity that you've taken to do this since the last time we did this.
You say, were you going to play music in the background?
No, because if we did, some of you'd start humming and it would distract you and you'd be totally unfocused on what the Holy Spirit's saying. So I'm going to give you 15 minutes to write down whatever God wants to speak to you, no matter what it is. Just write it down. And then I'm going to come back in 15 minutes and we'll talk about what you have written. So commence to praying, commence to writing.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I don't know about you, but
I think I could have gone on for quite a while. That was a very quick 15 minutes for me. Can't speak for anybody else. Okay, now, we're not going to go through and have everybody stand up and talk about, you know, what they wrote. What I will say is this. If you wasted the last 15 minutes, I really feel for you because God was here to speak to people. And for those of you that let Him, you received something relative to your life. What you wrote is either part of or an entire chapter of your life, the book that God's wanted to give you. What you wrote that the Holy Spirit gave you had already been written down in heaven, waiting to be given to you. What you received is not the totality of all you are to receive. It's not everything you're supposed to receive, but it's only a part. Take what He has given you and pray over it. Because in all likelihood, there's more that He may want to add. Meditate on it. Ask Him for additional information or explanation about it. And keep in mind that every time you sit down to begin to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. You may pray for an hour and He may only give you one sentence, because out of that hour of prayer, there was only one sentence that He wanted you to consciously be aware of at that time. Everything else was deposited into your spirit for a time to come. But the key is to understand that God is doing His best to transfer the information about His plan and will for your life to you. And the way that we hinder that is to refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to work His purpose in our life, to work in us part of the reason that He was sent, which is to teach us these things. What you wrote prior to tonight was a mystery to you. And it's no longer a mystery. You have just unlocked a divine secret that has been hidden from the foundation of the world, but was appointed to be revealed to you this night. For all the eternities past, God's been waiting for this moment to give to you this information. If He thinks it's so special to reveal it to you, then we should think it's very special to pay close attention. This might be the first time that you've ever done anything like this. And if so, then I do want to encourage you. God wants to speak to you. And He will. And He will reveal to you everything that He has written for you up in heaven. He will give to you the perfection of His plan, of His will, to enable you to live everything that He's called you to do. I honestly don't know words that I could convey, that I could speak, that would drive home how absolutely vital what's happened tonight is to you. There's nothing I can say. It's something that you'll have to accept spiritually by faith, that tonight was a critical turning point in your life as far as God's will for you. God has spoken. The Creator of the universe took 15 minutes of His time, if you want to say it that way, to spend with you, to speak to you, to let you know what's on His mind. Praise God. Praise God. Do this when you're alone. He'll speak to you at home in the same way. But don't neglect the ministry of the Holy Spirit as He has been sent to reveal to you the plan of God for your life. Praise God. Everybody stand.